Welcome to Artists in the City. This program is produced in conjunction with the Public Art Fund in order to inform New Yorkers of the rich and diverse cultural activities that take place throughout the metropolitan area. This series presents interviews with artists, curators, administrators, and others who are active participants in the current art scene. Now, here is your host, Jenny Dixon.
Good evening, and welcome to Artists in the City. Our topic this evening is an unusual public art competition called Artists in the Gardens. It's being developed under Operation Green Thumb, which is a city agency that leases city-owned vacant lots to nonprofit community groups to establish neighborhood gardens. Green Thumb is now seeking artists to work with community members in designing and creating projects for the gardens. Here to talk about the program are Jane Weissman, who is the director of Green Thumb, or Operation Green Thumb, and Angela Fremont, who is coordinating Artists in the Gardens. Jane, for many years, was involved with the Green Markets in developing the Green Markets throughout the city, and Angela, many of you may have known, worked for the Department of Cultural Affairs and was responsible for developing the materials for the arts program. So Angela I had known for many years, and she's been on here several times before. I'd like to welcome you both to Artists in the City. And maybe I think it would be best if you could begin, Jane, by giving us a little bit of background on Operation Green Thumb and why maybe this project was developed.
Well, first of all, Operation Green Thumb is a program of the Department of General Services. And as you said, it leases city-owned lots to community groups from all over the city. However, any group that's in a CD-eligible area is entitled to receive technical training and materials from us. So we can give them fencing and lumber materials to build raised beds and picnic tables and benches, as well as soil and plant materials as well.
And a CD area is a community development area where the income is low and moderate.
Right. And therefore it's able to have federal funding.
That's right. This is a program that's funded by HUD.
Okay, huh.
It's a community development block grant program. And I see the gardens as a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
They bring people together, so we have stronger community groups. And the gardens themselves are an expression of the people's creativity. After you look to see where your sun is coming from and how much sun you have a day, so you know where to plant your vegetables and your flowers, then you can begin to think where you want your pathway to go. Do you want it straight or do you want it curved? And there are lots of artistic choices that you can make.
Well, do you want seeding, for instance, and things like that? Does it even get to that degree? I mean, I'm thinking of some of the gardens that I don't know as they were Green Thumb Gardens, but the little gardens in the village, that one which is where St. Vincent's is now going to be. And then there's another one, I believe, off of Hudson Street, where there's even a little windmill or something like that.
That's a Jane Street garden,
okay,
which is not a Green Thumb
right.
garden. But with the Green Thumb Gardens, each group will come in and we give them some training.
Okay.
And we have this wonderful system where their lot is drawn to scale, and then there are little pieces that represent raised beds and represent picnic tables and represent benches. And after 4 weeks of playing with these pieces at home, people come in with designs that are really very, very beautiful. And so each garden does reflect the needs and creative urges of each of the groups.
Now, Jane, you help develop a garden, then you just leave it. I mean, I'm saying that Operation Green Thumb leaves it in the hands of the community. Are you there for the community to come back to as a resource when
always
there's blight or whatever problems?
We're always there. We're always there to offer technical assistance. We offer workshops throughout the year. In fact, we have a conference coming up on March 9th. It'll be an all-day conference at Norman Thomas High School.
Which is in?
It's in Manhattan.
In Manhattan.
On East 33rd Street in Manhattan. We are always there if people say, oh my God, we have these bugs. What do we do?
That's what I think.
Each year we try to give away seeds. We try to give away bulbs. And any garden that is deserving gets. It's as easy as that.
Now, what is the oldest garden at this point that's still coming back?
Well,
or how long have you been around? Maybe that's a better, the organization.
The organization has been around since 1978. Okay. Perhaps one of the most famous gardens which has a green thumb lease is the Clinton Community Garden, although they really get their resources themselves now.
And that's the one that's just been saved.
That's right.
Which is very exciting.
Right.
Okay. I think it's interesting that you've developing this notion of artists' gardens or artists in the gardens. The Public Art Fund, as you may know, developed an artist's garden in Brooklyn, which was done by Jane Greengold out in front of Borough Hall. And then we also developed...
And that was done partially with resources from Operation Green Thumb.
I was going to point out, right. I was going to say that. And there was another project we also did partially with help from Operation Green Thumb.
Right.
And that was Agnes Dennis's wheat field. So I know you're not involved in things that are like this, but you definitely were a very helpful resource to us when we were developing these projects. I mean, that's not your main objective, but you're there, is my
Absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely. We always want to be.
Maybe you can tell them about the land recs problem, project too, land reclamation.
Well, that project is sort of like the wheat field, where we take large tracts of land, usually in commercial or industrial neighborhoods, and we seed them over with wildflowers and grasses. So these are huge plots of lands that are just, they've become the community dumping ground. Sanitation has to come in every month and cart the stuff out. So we come in and we seed it with grasses and wildflowers, and after 4 months, there literally is a meadow. And we continue to mow it, so we cut out what we call noxious weeds. It's ragweed.
Right.
And the gardens, the fields, they look beautiful.
And the garbage stops coming is...
Pretty much. My favorite, we have a photo to show that sometimes garbage does come back, and it's a sofa sitting in the middle of one of these land rec sites.
Right.
And I think it's lovely because I just fantasize of who goes there to sit in this field.
Their outdoor living room in the summer.
Pretty much, because there are butterflies that come in. It's lovely to see butterflies sitting on top of cleomies.
Well, I think there's no question that you really have helped re-green, New York. And it's particularly wonderful in the summer when the concrete just seems to
sizzle.
Overpower and sizzle. Angela, why, I assume it was you that came up with this idea and then approached Operation Green Thumb.
Right.
Right?
Well, Operation Green Thumb was clearly an ideal project for artists to go into the communities and do small-scale public artworks collaborating with community members. And I wrote a letter and I said, you guys should be hiring artists to do public artworks. And they said, great idea. Come on over.
So how are you setting it up? I mean, you have an RFP that you've sent out to artists.
There's a request,
or how are they
proposal.
Work with the community? I mean, because what Jane was saying, one of the beauties of this program is really you're allowing the community to extend or expose their own creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And often with public art is the criticism we all receive is that the artist is imposing, and yet here you have something that's very much grassroots, to make a pun, but it's, within the community. So how's that marriage going to happen?
The artists that are submitting proposals are invited to make site visits. We've selected, of the almost 1,000 gardens that are currently in operation, we've selected 8 of them to be our first sites for artists to go and do projects in. And there's a list of them is provided for any artist that wants to go and visit these sites, and there's a brief description of them. The sites range in size from 1,000 square feet to, of these 8 sites, the largest site is 17,500 square feet, which is a pretty big site.
Yeah, that is big.
Yeah. So, and we want very much for the artists to collaborate and develop their proposals with community members. This really is not a program for artists that work in their studios and exhibit their...
Well, what do you see? I mean, that's what I was asking you about furniture. I mean, right now in public art, everybody's jumping on the functional bandwagon, as I call it. And if, the community, let's just talk kind of hypothetically. Let's say the community's designed a garden that's the shape of a pie, and there's wedges that go into a center. And they want little paths that all go into this center, and they want something in that center. Now, that is not a difficult solution for the artist. He's given the site by the community to do something in that center. Let's say it's not so straightforward as a pie with a center, but maybe pathways are really, there's different entrances and exits to it, and they really want to do something with the pathway to focus on that. Then would the artist maybe do kind of a tile or mosaic,
right,
or something?
Right, many of the proposals we're seeing are for trellises and arbors, for gazebo-type things, for walls that could have a mural on it. We're also getting proposals for wall pieces to go on, directly on the wall. And the community groups themselves will select the artists and the project that they want to work with.
That's great.
There will be a panel of art professionals to kind of narrow down the field for the community groups, and then the community groups will come in, look at maybe 20 different proposals, select 3 different artists to talk to and meet with, and then make their final selection so that there are no surprises.
Okay, so the community is going to boil it down to 3, is that what you said?
Yes.
And then the art professionals will select from the 3?
No,
the
community makes the final selection.
Okay.
The art panel will maybe have 20 finalists.
Okay.
And then the 8 groups will come in and go through them. And many of the proposals that we'll be seeing are made specifically for the sites, and there's the possibility also of some collaborations taking place between painters and sculptors and things with the wall and also the trellises. And
well, there's a collaboration between the planning and the community and
right
to begin with, which is kind of a really interesting situation. I think that a lot of people in New York City are interested in being responsive to community in public art, but it's very hard because New York City is so big. You can go to your community board, you can make your presentation, but the person who's really going to hate it or love it or live with it isn't necessarily coming to the community board. So I think that what you're doing is also very exciting in kind of just pushing forward the notion of public art.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, Calvin Tompkins wrote in The New Yorker about this subject about new public art, and I just want to read a little bit of what he said. He said, "The new group of public artists has rejected monumentality altogether. Rather than impose an aesthetic statement on a public space in the form of a sculpture, they seek to make the space itself more interesting, more alive, or more useful to the people who pass through it or congregate there." And he also said these artists focus their attention on the particular context of a site, which means for most of them taking into account a complex of social, political, historical, topographical, and architectural considerations. It means working within limits and within all sorts of people whose main interests are not aesthetic ones.
Right.
So.
But, if you think about what he was writing about too, how true is that? I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but I don't think that's always happening. I think you've got to start on a community level like you're starting on to use that and say that, which is what he's saying in terms of Battery Park City,
mm-hmm.
when there is no community there yet,
mm-hmm.
I have some problems with. I mean, I think that, you know, going into a community like you are is the way that that can happen, but I don't think we've really seen it
happen yet. Because the source of the project then is the community rather than the artist imposing their work in a community where they don't know who the audience is.
But if you look at the projects he was writing about in those 2 articles,
mm-hmm.
they were some wonderful projects that have happened in Seattle,
right.
but some others that have happened, one is happening in Battery Park City
mm-hmm.
in New York.
Mm-hmm.
What is the community there, Angela?
Yeah, it's true. They don't really...
There is not one. It's it's concrete dirt, leftover wheat field, art on the beach.
That's a good point.
So I think it'll be really interesting to see what you're able to put forward.
The community will be collaborating in the execution of the work, too. It's not just the community making a selection and then waiting for it to happen. They'll be able to participate in the whole creative process.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the actual logistics. Jane, were you involved in identifying the gardens? Is that how you really worked together? You said these gardens would be appropriate and then, in effect, gave Angela the contact people to talk to there? Or how did that work?
What we did, we decided to look at gardens that are developed. They really are gardens. The raised beds are in place. The community group is a tight group. They're working very hard to grow their vegetables and to make their garden as nice as it can.
Mm-hmm.
So we were looking at the community group to see that it was a good, cohesive group. And then, of course, we were looking at gardens that had architectural aspects
or
that would be amenable to a piece of public art, whether they had a good wall or there was a large enough ground area where a sculpture could be.
Mm-hmm.
But also groups that wanted to have artwork that, you know, had expressed an interest in
the past.
There actually were a few groups that, it's an interesting thing because before Angela came, there were a number of groups that said, we have a great wall, we want a mural. In fact, many of the gardens, for instance, the Garden of Union in Park Slope in Brooklyn has a beautiful mural, which they executed themselves. And that's a mural which is a continuation of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at a picture of it, it's hard to tell where the garden leaves off and the mural begins. So there is precedent for murals and works of art in the gardens. This is just a little bit more formal.
Sure. Well, it's making it available to more people. They don't have to go out and get their own resources to do it, is this right?
Exactly.
So basically, you've identified the gardens. Then you put out an RFP. Is that correct?
Right.
And it's why don't you give us a sense of the fees that are involved and when the deadline is?
The filing deadline is February 1st for submitting your application and a proposal and some slides. The artists will receive a $1,000 stipend for their work, and we are currently fundraising and doing development to help pick up the costs of materials, but that fee is being paid for by the Department of General Services.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so this is a real, very generous beginning for another city agency to be making a contribution to public art and to the city's 60,000 artists.
Right. But so an artist, if I won the competition and I wanted to do an arbor or in some place,
mm-hmm.
would I just be given $1,000? Or would you be tapping them back into materials for the arts? Or
sure.
We
haven't worked out all the logistics of that, but by the time the projects begin in the spring and early summer, we'll certainly have all those details worked
mm-hmm.
out.
What we're also hoping to do is the communities can go out and scrounge up materials as well.
Okay.
Because there's a long tradition in the communities of merchants providing materials for whatever reason.
Well, it also becomes a community effort.
Exactly.
Since that notion.
Mm-hmm. Which is part of the whole collaboration, is that not only will the community group be able to help mm-hmm. make this piece of public art, but can help provide the materials to make it possible.
Plus, it's part of the objective of Operation Green Thumb, to bring the communities together.
Absolutely.
And to be doing community development work.
Yeah. So then an artist applying doesn't submit a budget, or are you giving them any ideas? They just know that it's a shoestring operation.
Right.
I'm just trying to get it straightforward.
Yeah. No, you don't have to submit a budget initially. In the second stage of the process, where the community groups are going to be meeting with the artists, that's when it'll become clear whether or not the projects are feasible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty clear that you can't do with $1,000 a project that is that the cost of materials alone would be in excess of $20,000. So, maybe that's for something later on.
Yeah. No, I just was trying to get the parameters mm-hmm. for people if they want to apply.
Yeah.
I mean, it's to get the sense of what it's about, that's all.
What we do is hope that everybody will apply, even if people feel that the $1,000 is far too little. And it is far too little, is that we hope that the program will grow. And if the project is not feasible at this time, it may be feasible in the future. And what we would like to do is know who the artists are out there that are interested in these kinds of projects, so we can tap in on them in the future. if not now.
No, I'm glad you said that. I think that's important.
Yeah, I should also say that the Percent for Art program has been very good in working with us and collaborating on getting the mailings out to artists that had already applied to Percent for Art, artists that want to do public artwork.
Okay. Tell me, so what's going to happen? You're going to gather this panel together kind of in March, April?
Middle February.
You're going to present them to the communities in the middle of February.
Right. By March 1st, we should know who the artists are.
For each garden. I mean,
yes.
As an artist, I don't just apply to Operation Green Thumb to do a project. I'm applying to do a site-specific project.
Not necessarily. If you're a muralist or a painter and you do, you don't have to make a site visit.
Okay.
Community members will be able to look at slides and the art professionals can talk to them about various merits in an artist's work, so that they'll be able to make a selection even if it isn't site specific. And I tell you, most of these community groups are so excited about all the different possibilities that they've been presented with artists going out making these site visits. They're just very excited and stimulated at all the different ideas that artists are generating for their gardens.
Well, how much time do these people usually spend in a garden? I mean, somebody who works and has a little plot in a community garden, what would you say? They spend, 12 hours a week during the summer there? Or?
It's very possibly they do, because people use these gardens as recreation areas as well. So it's a place to go to be able to sit, see some color, see some green, see some fuchsia, see a butterfly, hear a bird. These gardens really are oases in the city, especially when you realize where most of these gardens are.
Oh, yeah. Well, also people have a sense of proprietorship toward them,
mm-hmm.
which is why they, I think, are responding to in the ways that you're saying.
And also a lot of the garden sites that we've selected are pretty much outside the mainstream of where artists live and do their work. They're not... We didn't choose sites in the Lower East Side where
there are
artists...
a lot of gardens there already. Anyway.
That's right. There are a lot of gardens there, but there are also a lot of artworks. We really wanted to give gardens farther away the opportunity to have an artist working in their midst.
Okay, so you're going to present all the drawings. I just want to get the procedures down here for people, to the community. Then the community is going to come up with their selection of three.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to have a professional arts panel. You said the community is going to select the three. No, the arts professionals, excuse me. The arts professionals are going to select the three. And then they'll be taken to the community.
Right.
And then the community will actually vote.
The community also will make a brief presentation to the arts arts panel in
Great.
The beginning, so that the arts panel knows what they're looking for. And the community members will be there if they would like to be for this initial screening of proposals. So, and I think that the people that will be on the panel will certainly be very receptive to what the community is looking for
mm-hmm.
and wants. There are, of the eight sites, only one is in Manhattan, and that's in East Harlem, and the other seven sites are in the Bronx and in Brooklyn. So, and one of the sites is way up in the Bronx. It was described to me as being just south of Westchester.
Wow.
So, the artists that want to do this will have a very wonderful opportunity to work with community groups in executing their projects.
Okay, well, let's talk about time schedule of execution. Then my point was, when is the artist going to be finally selected? What's your deadline? April, May? So when can you get into the garden?
We would like to get the artist out into the gardens in March.
Oh.
Certainly to start mapping out what they're going to need to map out. Probably right now, the most important date to keep in mind is February 1st, and that any artists who are interested in getting the request for proposal and the list of gardens to visit should call Angela or myself at the office, and we will be glad to send out our package and then to go out and see the gardens.
Jane, why don't you give the address and the phone number so people know where to send it to?
Okay, fine. Angela can be reached at 233- 0915. If by any chance her line is busy or there's no answer there, they should call 233-2926 and ask for Jane. So either Angela or I can...
Okay, and it's Angela Fremont, F-R-E-M-O-N-T, and Jane Weissman, W-E-I-S-S-M-A-N.
Right.
And what's your address, Operation Green Thumb address, if you want to just drop a note or a postcard and ask to be sent a packet, which might be just as easy.
Sure. We're at 49 Chambers Street, room 1020, New York, New York, 10007.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to add that you think we haven't really touched upon before we go off the air?
I do just want to repeat that this is the beginning of something that could really help transform the city and give artists a new avenue for their work. With almost 1,000 gardens, the possibilities are limitless, and with the land reclamation sites, big earthworks are also possible.
Meaning these are the
big sites, real big sites.
That's where you're planting the wildflowers right now.
That's right.
Now, are those throughout the city, or those are, pretty much in Manhattan, or do you find those?
We have very few in Manhattan.
Queens, I would think, probably you'd have a lot.
The land reclamation crew has seeded over 250 acres of land throughout the city. About 90 acres are in the Bronx, 150 acres are in Brooklyn. A small 10 acres are in Manhattan. And I think about 25 acres are in Queens. I hope that adds up to about 250.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. Do you want to add anything, Jane?
Just that all of us at Green Thumb are very, very excited about the project because we feel that this is a way that we can reach out and affect even more people. As I said before, I look upon the gardens as something more than the gardens, as a metaphor for all sorts of growth, be it vegetable growth, creative growth, spiritual growth, physical growth. And I think that bringing together the artists and the gardens is just one more wonderful thing that is happening in New York City.
Okay. I'd like to thank you both for being here, and I'd like to give once more the address of Operation Green Thumb and the phone numbers. Do you want to?
Oh, sure. It's Operation Green Thumb, 49 Chambers Street, room 1020, New York, New York, 10007. Angela Fremont can be reached at 233-0915, and Jane Weissman can be reached at 233-2926.
Okay. Thank you both very much for being here, and I do urge people out there to really apply, as Angela is saying, and Jane. They want everybody to apply, even if you think it's not in your ballpark, just so they have the source and know who's out there, and you'll find the money.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You have just heard Artists in the City with Jenny Dixon, produced in conjunction with the Public Art Fund. We welcome your comments and suggestions on these programs. Write to Artists in the City, care of WNYC, New York, New York, 10007. That's Artists in the City, care of WNYC, New York, New York, 10007. We'll be back again next week at the same time. Join us then. Thank you.